Well, good morning, everybody. It's nice to be here. And again, it's 7 years you've been hearing me talk about programs in the Med. So given 1 month in Panama, I'm going to give you a brief overview of what we're doing in the Latin America region this year. But I have to say, after spending, again, some time traveling with Tommy and over the last couple years, I didn't realize you're such a good public speaker. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind giving my presentation this morning. No?
I need a little bit of time.
You need some time. Okay. All right.
Only about 6 years.
But anyways, as I said, I've been in Panama for about a month, and already we had Iowa and Illinois come knocking at the door, and I had the opportunity to spend some time with them and visit with some of the Panamanians. So it's interesting, after, like I said, 7 years in Med, and you'd have to beg people to come visit you. I think it's going to be very easy to get the council members to come and visit me in Latin America. Just some overview of the region. Again, I want to point out it's of the top 20 markets for the U.S., 11 of them, actually 12, including Mexico, are located in Latin America and the Caribbean. So it's obviously a very important region for us. It's the reasons are obvious because of proximity and shipping distance. Essentially our back door. And I want to point out things that we're all very well aware of, but we have free trade agreements with several countries in the region, Chile, also CAFTA DR free trade agreement. We have free trade agreements on hold with Colombia and Panama that are currently in front of the U.S. Congress, and there's a lot of debate as to when those will be passed. These free trade agreements create some opportunity, both for us, obviously, as exporters, but it also creates opportunity in the sense of competition. I was based, as I said, in Tunis, Tunisia, and it was a country that didn't have a lot of competition in its internal marketplace. And as when you get into one of those countries where you see one feed miller that controls 70% of imports, it's real hard to get them to do things differently. And I would suspect, looking at a lot of the countries in Central America, that was probably a lot of the problems in the years past, that you had a couple big players that really didn't feel pressure to change. And with CAFTA, there's going to be a lot of inter-regional trade and trade between these countries. And so it opens up opportunities for the council to work with some of the more innovative producers in the region to get them to look at reducing cost of production, to expanding their operations outside of their borders, and putting some pressure on companies that may have been very happy in the past with the status quo. That means that creates opportunities for us to introduce new products, whether it be distillers' grains, it can be value-added products, the snack food industry, et cetera. So I think as we look at those FTAs, there's an opportunity that the council can utilize some of that competitive competition that's occurring. And also there's some economic growth occurring within the region that will create opportunity for increased consumption. On the other side of that, we are facing threats. A prime example of that is Colombia. We have a free trade agreement with Colombia that has not been implemented. And in the time being, the Mercosur agreement has actually put Brazilian and Argentinian corn at a favorable tariff relative to U.S. corn. And so we've seen over 80,000 tons of Brazilian corn move into the Colombian market this year. And our market share has gone from 80% traditionally an 80% U.S. market share down to 45% this year. So as we look at threats, we need to be aware that these free trade agreements are very important. Getting a free trade agreement with Colombia, with Panama, will be a way to reassert U.S. dominance in this market and also create opportunities in those countries. Now to get to the main part of my program, talking about demand building exercises. In the area of barley, we've done over the last couple of years a number of regional conferences on with the brewing sector and the U.S. Barley industry. And now the council is going to be moving their programs to more targeted marketing, working with individual breweries to see what we can do to introduce U.S. barley to these markets. We're focusing on Guatemala, Nicaragua, and Dominican Republic because the breweries in these countries are small family-owned breweries. Their decision-making, purchasing habits are not centralized into large central headquarters, and we feel that we can get them interested in contract production of barley in the United States. And so we're going to work on that. If you look at the Dominican Republic, we currently have about 50% market share in these markets. But when in Guatemala and Nicaragua, these are markets that we don't even have any market share at this point. So we're trying to get in and create an opportunity for U.S. barley producers in those two countries. This model is based off of what we've seen in Mexico with Modelo, CCM, moving to contract production in the United States, and we hope that we can replicate that in the Central American region. We recently started a program in the snack food industry, trying to get involved and in seeing what the opportunities in Central America for a higher quality corn product besides your traditional commodity corn, whether it be hard endosperm corn or just a higher grade standard. And we are actually going to be hosting another team of snack food producers to the U.S. in about 3 weeks' time to participate in a snack food processing course at Texas A&M. We are currently working with five snack food producers in Central America. Again, to see what the opportunities are for providing them with a higher quality product, and as we see, again, an opportunity for expansion of their industry in Central America, can we be play an active role in that and create opportunities for U.S. exporters? In Colombia, again, as I mentioned, Colombia is our largest market for U.S. corn in the region, imports about 3 million tons total per year. Right now, because of the FTA, we are at a disadvantage. However, with the FTA approval, there's an opportunity for us to work with livestock producers in this country. Both the swine and the poultry industries have checkoff programs that were established. They're really well-funded industries, but they're looking for direction from the Grains Council and have approached us in the past to work with them to promote the expansion of their industry. I actually had the opportunity to host the president of the Poultry Association in Morocco. His name is Jorge Bedoya, and he said that they have, again, as I said, plenty of money in the coffers, but they want to see the council much more active involved in helping them promote their expansion. So this is an opportunity for feed grains in that market. Sorghum. There's an opportunity in the snack food industry, specifically to El Salvador. One of the snack food participants from El Salvador requested more information on sourcing food grade sorghum out of the U.S., and so that will be something that we will be pursuing. Colombia, as a coincidence of their importation of Brazilian and Argentinian corn, they've imported about 200,000 tons of Argentinian sorghum this year, and that just shows us an opportunity that we can get in and start promoting U.S. sorghum. I think in the past we didn't promote as much sorghum into Colombia as we or U.S. sorghum as we could have because of the dominance of Mexico in the market. But now that this is that Colombia is showing their willingness to start using sorghum, I think this is something that we need to follow up on and see what we can do to move more U.S. sorghum into this market. On distillers grains, if you look at Central America, this is a region where we've been very successful as a council to reach out and contact most of the feed millers, the large, medium-sized feed millers in this region. They're very familiar and comfortable using distillers grains, and I think the next focus of our activities will actually be working on increasing the inclusion rates in the various species. If I can just use a broad example, we see average inclusion rates in poultry of around 5%, swine 10%, and dairy of around 15%. So all those species, we can promote the higher inclusion rates, and that will be the focus in the upcoming programs. And then also we had, all, for example, with the Iowa Illinois group that was in Panama, we were talking with one importer who had problem. They discovered that had problems with their storage, and that was one of the reasons that he wasn't expanding his use of distillers grains. So there are some technical constraints on the storage and handling side that we'll be addressing also. In Chile, this is a market that the council got involved promoting distillers grains to the dairy sector. The dairy sector is based on a grass-fed diet, but we did some trials of using distillers grains as supplements and was quite successful. And we saw Chile import 100,000 tons of distillers grains last year. So it's an opportunity. It's a market that's quite a distance from us and very close to our competitors, but they've shown a willingness to use distillers grains. And we think that we can increase the availability of Chile, availability of distillers grains in Chile by working with a number of different suppliers. Right now there seems to be a constraint on the number of suppliers and the inflation of distillers grains price relative to other commodities in that market. So by getting multiple suppliers in that market, maybe the Dairy Association will have a better chance of using more distillers grains. The other side of it is there is a plan for the swine industry to double its size and capacity. And if it does that, it will increase demand for feed grains by a million metric tons. Obviously, that's an opportunity for distillers grains also in the swine industry. In Peru, we have an problem for market access for distillers grains. The Ministry of Health has classified distillers grains as a byproduct of a chemical process, which has an inherent implication that it is a hazardous material. So we, as the council, will be going into Peru to try to address how they classify distillers grains, and so that we can get that reclassified and get distillers grains introduced into the Peruvian marketplace. In Colombia, there's currently a 15% duty on distillers grains. We do see some distillers grains moving in at about, last year was about 45,000 metric tons went in, but we will be working to try to remove that duty. The duty was put in place by the local, lobbied by the local wet miller to protect the corn gluten feed and corn gluten meal, and distillers grains was lumped in with that. So we hope to get distillers broken out and the duty removed on that. And that's a snapshot of programs in the Latin America region, what we're doing on demand building. Thank you.